I'm interested in just a thought here out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 8. The Bible says, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Let's bow our heads and hearts together. Father, we pray and ask that you would help us, Lord, rightly divide the word of truth. And Lord, may the word of God find its lodging place in our hearts this morning. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. If I had a title this morning, I would title it, "Why We Are Anchor Baptist Church." If I had a subtitle this morning, I would use the thought, "Generic Christianity." Generic Christianity. Now, I personally am not real big on generic stuff. I'm not a fellow that likes store brands very much. A lot of people, that they like store brands. I don't. And some said, well, you know, they're made by the major manufacturers. Well, they may be, but it may be the kind I don't like. And you know, I'm not real big about that. If I'm going to eat peanut butter, I like a certain kind, you know, and I'm just kind of that way. I never have been much for the store brand soft drinks, just never have been. But I tell you what I really, you know, you get into when you get into the stuff that's the bent and the labels are gone off of. You ever see those in the grocery store? You see those, what they call the Brights, the cans that have no labels? And sometimes there's coating on it where you can tell what it is, but not always. Well, one day we had some stuff, and I knew for a fact that it was, we were sorting some stuff down at the warehouse, and I come across some tuna fish. And it was chicken of the sea, I believe it was, tuna fish. And so I pitched over here. Well, just in the box, just a little bit later, I come across a can of Little Frisky's cat food, tuna flavored. And I picked the things up, and they looked almost identical in the can, little flat cans. So very carefully, I begin to work the label off of the chicken of the sea. It's only glued in one place, and I very carefully begin to work that label off. And I finally got that label off that thing, and I tore it off of this one, and I slipped the chicken of the sea onto the Little Frisky's cat food. And Brother O.K. Bryson was down there, and I fixed that up real nice. And I carried it over, Brother O.K. I said, "Here, brother, take this, give this to Gary, let him pack it for his lunch tomorrow." And I guess he told him what I'd done, because I never heard back from it. But it would have been interesting to open the open your lunch and you've got the Little Friskies. It would have been even worse if you'd eat it, you know. I mean, that would have, you know, it'd been a dead giveaway. Then again, maybe it's good. I don't know. Maybe you eat Little Friskies. I don't, I don't buy things without labels. I just don't like that. I'm not into that, you know. I like things to be, I like to know what they are, and I guess I was raised in that generation. But I want you to understand that we're in a day that everybody, we want our Christianity to be very generic. And we're trying to be all things to all men. Now understand what the Apostle Paul was talking about. When he was with a certain group, he would obviously try to observe their customs. When he was trying to minister to the Jews, then he would be Jewish in his presentation because he didn't want to offend them. But when it come to the Gentiles, absolutely not. What are you talking about? Well, Timothy was a Jew, his part Jew. His mama was a Jew, his daddy was Gentile. So when Timothy was called to the ministry, the Apostle Paul thought it good that he be circumcised according to the Jewish rite, therefore it would make him a full Jew. And he would have no restrictions of going into the synagogue, going into the temple, preaching. He'd have no restrictions. And so the Apostle Paul insisted and possibly performed circumcision on young Timothy. But when Titus came along, who was, if Timothy was his right-hand man, then Titus was his left-hand man. He was not Gentile. He was not Jew. He was Gentile. And never once did he even talk to him about circumcision because he was a Gentile. And there were some restrictions in places he could not go. So what are you trying to say, preacher? The Apostle Paul, yes, he would try to when he was dealing with a certain group of people, he would try to adapt that message. Let me see if I can say it this way. If they want me to come preach at a Christian school chapel, I'm probably not going to get into some of the deeper things of eschatology. I'm probably going to preach something that's fairly simple that they can get a hold of. Does that make sense? There's no sense in me going, if I go out of state and go off someplace, there's no sense in me making references to Western North Carolina history and making references to our Baptist heritage here. It's not. There's no profit to that because they're not here. On the other end, if I do a camp meeting up in the upper end of the county or Jackson County, I can start telling about the heritage of the Baptists in these mountains. I can start talking to them about their ancestors who've pioneered this part of the world, and the Baptists, I rode mules and walked on foot, and they were circuit riders that came into these hills and move here, but ultimately it was to evangelize the Cherokee. And I've got a connection with them. But if I'm preaching a meeting in Pennsylvania, there's no need to talk about that. There's no connection with that. That's what I'm talking about. That's what Paul was talking about when he was talking about being all things to all men. But what I'm trying to say is we want to not offend anybody. We want to be a generic Christianity so that one size fits all. I got news for you. This church is not for everybody. But to quote an old commercial that I hate to tie back to, the commercial said, we're not for everybody, but then again, we don't try to be. I could just say it this way. If you're a strong liberal, you probably won't like this place. If you're a Bible denier, you probably won't like this place. And that's not to be hateful or mean. There's thousands of places you can go that you fit right in. But what I'm trying to say is there's a crowd, there's a group, that they are deliberately erasing all of the things so that they just want to have a name. And oftentimes it's inanimate names. And they just want to be, you know. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, if they want to be known as the creek or the tree or the stump or whatever it is, I mean, if they want to be known as that, that's their business. Matter of fact, in some cases, I'm very much for that, because I'm real glad when they take the word church off the sign, because they don't qualify to be a church. Somebody told me, they said, "Did you hear so and so took Baptist off their name?" I said, "About time, hallelujah." They said, "That don't offend you?" I said, "No, it offended me that they had Baptist on the sign all this time." Because they wasn't a bit more Baptist than the Pope is. Son, they ain't been Baptist in years. So this morning, I want to take, if I can, and just, we're going to do a little bit of classification. If when you were in school, does anybody remember in biology when you did taxonomical classification? You know what I'm talking about? When you went through and you classified different things according to the kingdom, the phylum, the class, the order, the family, the genus, and the species. Remember that? Remember when you go through and have to put everything in those columns, everything in those, and break those down? Well, can I tell you this morning that those classifications are for biology. Minerals don't fit in that. They're for biology, and biology, if you'll remember in 10th grade biology, it's the study of living things, living organisms. And there's three basic, not kingdoms, I guess, but there's three basic divisions of living things, or at least that's what they say. There's a fight over that, how many there are. But the bottom line is this, living things. Somebody said, well, I'm going to start with the word church. Now, if you were to say our name in Spanish or in Latin or in Greek, it would be, in Spanish, it would be Iglesia Bautista Ancala, which is exactly backwards. See, English is one of the few languages that explains what it is before they tell you what it is. If I get up here in the pulpit and I say the bright, beautiful, red, what am I talking about? You still don't know, do you? Some of you thought apple. Some of you thought sunrise. Some of you thought a flower. In Spanish, you don't say the red rose, you say the rose red. You explain it after you tell what it is, and you add the things to it. Can I tell you that this morning we are, first of all, a church? And can I tell you the reason I'm using the taxonomical breakdown is because churches are living organisms. Somebody said, you ought to use the organizational chart. No, no, no. The church is more than an organization. The church is an organism. And just as a body, any living thing has multiple cells and that come together to form its body. Can I tell you, if you're saved by the grace of God this morning, you're one of the cells in Christ's body. And you make up the living, breathing entity of the body of Christ on earth during this dispensation, during this time. Somebody said, I don't understand that. Well, I can tell you that it's a mystical thing, but it's the truth. We are His hands, we are His feet, we are His mouthpiece for this time. In His absence, because the Holy Spirit empowers us. Thank God the body of Christ this morning, part of it's sleeping. They've already had their day. Part of the body of Christ is in bed. They've already had their day. And there's some still getting up, hallelujah. And there's some behind us in Alaska. They'll have service here in about 4 hours. And they're going to have church. And we'll continue to have church till we hit till the day changes, till the international dateline. We'll continue to have church. And continue to be, that body is alive and has, if I can say it this way, has infested this old world. Hallelujah. The word taxonomy comes from the word, the Greek, that means arrangement, and the word noma, which means method, the method in which it's arranged. If you were to talk about the kingdom, if we were trying to describe something, we'd talk about the kingdom. Well, it's part of the plant kingdom. Or it's part of the animal kingdom. Can I tell you, we're part of the kingdom of God. And somebody said, well, that's simple. Well, a lot of people don't understand that the church age is a part of the big plan of God as far as the kingdom of God. There's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. A lot of people don't understand that. The kingdom of heaven was promised to the Jews. Christ preached the kingdom of heaven. John the Baptist promised the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven was at hand, just as John said it was. And had the Jews on Calvary, had the Jews received Christ, my friend, there is every evidence to believe that that kingdom of heaven was at hand, just as had been preached. But because they denied Him and because they had a hand in crucifying Him, God cut them off. And for that reason, my friend, the church age came into being. Somebody said, we're plan B. No, we were never plan B. We're part of the big mind of God all along. But can I say it this way? The plan was laid out to where it could have happened that way. And the kingdom of heaven. But can I tell you that the kingdom of heaven is going to come. And if we line them up, you think about there are those Old Testament saints. And they're under an economy of their own. And there's multiple economies. And this what we call time brackets, or the way that God deals with people, called dispensations. There's multiples of those in that Old Testament period. Right now we're in the dispensation of the church age. And there's coming a time that the tribulation, it'll be different yet again. And then there's the millennial that follows that. But I want you to understand that all of those things, the millennial, the tribulation, the church age, the Old Testament saints, all the way back to innocence, all of those are part of the kingdom of God. We're a part of that big plan of God. And I'm glad to report to you, when we get to glory, hallelujah, there's not going to be a section over here and a section over yonder. We're a part of that big plan. And the big plan includes angels and seraphims and cherubims and all of those things that we read about that we lack understanding of. All the created beings that's ever been, they're there, amen, around the throne eternal, crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We're a part of the kingdom of God. But if you were to say, what we're part of that kingdom, but what phylum are you? Well, we're part of the church. The word phylum defines how is it formed. If you were to talk about most animals that we would talk about that have a backbone, they would be a part of the chordata family. And it means that they have a spine. Well, can I tell you that the very spine, hallelujah, of our organism is the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, can I say He's the backbone. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Can I tell you, I know a bunch of church ain't got no backbone. They're part of something else. Can I tell you, you got to have a backbone if you're going to be a mammal. You got to have a backbone if you're going to be a bird. You got to have a backbone if you're going to be a fish. You got to have a backbone. Because that's part of the, hey, that's part of it. These folks ain't got no backbone. The generic outfit, they have no backbone. Just cartilage. Just kind of ooey gooey, just whatever you want us to be. Try to nail some of that bunch down on anything. Son, they'll wallow and carry on. I mean, down to the very core things of salvation. They won't even, you know, you put them, does the, do you believe that you must be born again to be saved? And I go, well, And they'll say, what do you believe? And then you'll say, well, I believe your man be good, you know. And they'll go, well, you know, I see what you say. I understand where you're coming from. They don't want to disagree with anybody because there's too much riding on the offering plate to make somebody mad. Son, you go to a generic church, you'd be surprised what the belief system is all throughout because it has no backbone. Can I tell you, the backbone is the church. But you know that out of what we call the church and out of the history of the church, there came several things. Of course, we know what the establishment that calls itself the part of Rome. But can I tell you, that's not the church. It's the anti-type of the church. And as big as it is, 1.2 million followers, that's not the church, even though that's what they go by and it's the most well-known by name church on earth. But can I tell you that while they followed after after the Pope, while they followed after those papal things, can I tell you that our class that we came from, if I can say it that way, that we evolved from, if I can say it that way, we came from a group known as Paulicians. They initially called us Christians, but because Christian became so broad in the first century that it took in everything, they narrowed it to say, hey, we're Paulicians, we're followers of Paul. And that's what they accused us of. As a matter of fact, there were people who were burned at the stake in the Dark Ages for being followers of Paul. And from that, there were a variety of things. They're named all different sorts of things. We were called different sorts of things. And we were called after the leaders. We were called after a variety of things. As a matter of fact, just down in Valdez, the Waldensians, they're Paulicians. They are. That's who they are. It was a different group from where we're. But basically, we're very close kin to the Waldensians. The same thing is true when it comes to the Mennonites. And the Mennonites, of course, break off of Amish. We were all Bible believers in Europe, but just different sections and different parts. And so we would all be part of that class of Paulicians, like a class of animal would be like a mammal. Well, we would be part of the Paulician group, whether we followed Zwingli or whoever we followed, whoever the leader was. But ultimately, it came down to where we were called Anabaptist. And that, by the way, was a bad name. That was a name of disgrace because the Catholic Church persecuted anyone that dared rebaptize an adult. But that's exactly what they believed. They believed that baptism was administered not as a child, but after someone had received Christ as Savior. And they believed that you immerse them in water, not sprinkle it on their head. And they believed that the sprinkling of the water on the head had absolutely no salvation. It had nothing. All it did was get you wet and make the baby cry. It did nothing. No merit in it whatsoever. And so out of that came the idea of Baptist. That's our order. Have you heard people talk about like, faith, and order? Our order would be Baptist. If we were going to talk about the order of an animal, if it's a mammal, if it's a horse, it's a carnivore, it's a herbivore, if it's a horse. If it's a cat, then a cat is primarily a carnivore. If it's a raccoon, it's an omnivore. It'll eat anything. It don't matter what it is. Bears are also in that category. Possums are in that category. They'll eat anything, don't eat them first, you know. They just whatever. Omnivore, eat about everything. Well, that's the class. That's where we're talking about. Can I tell you that our Baptist heritage, let me explain something to you. There's a lot of blood shed over that word Baptist. And one of the reasons this nation is a nation is that we might have the freedom to put a sign up that said we're Baptist. We are rebaptizers. To take that word that was against us and that we could be killed for during the Dark Ages and even during the Reformation. Many of the reformers, they don't want this in their history. They read after the Puritan writers, they read after the reformers. What they don't understand is, hey, the reformers were just as hard on the Anabaptists as the Catholics were. Luther hated Anabaptists, hated them with a passion. Regardless what history tells you, I got proof of his own writings, of his own hand, that he hated them. What I'm trying to say is, hey, we had nothing to be protest. Can I tell you that the Baptists were never Protestant? We were never Protestants. We didn't protest the Catholic Church. We were never a part of it. When you go in the military, there's three things you can be. You're Jewish, you're Catholic, or you're Protestant. And all the Baptists had to check Protestant. But the truth of the matter is, we are not Protestant. Methodist or Protestant, Episcopal or Protestant, Lutheran or Protestant, even Presbyterian or Protestant. But Baptists are not Protestant. The Baptist church, my friend, dates back to the Apostle Paul. Even though it wasn't called necessarily by that name, it was still, it's the order. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say basically this, that the church, we're a part of the church, but can I tell you something? That we're more than just a part of a church. We're part of the church, but let me say it this way. We're a part of the Baptist church. And I say that with a great deal of thankfulness to God Almighty. So I said, I got some pamphlets and how to grow your church. And I said, well, the first thing you need to do is you need to stop denominational emphasis. Well, my friend, we're not part of a denomination. We're independent Baptist. But can I tell you that we're Baptist? I mean, because it's what we believe. And I would simply say this. If your church don't believe in the authority of the Bible, take down the sign. I'm all for taking Baptists off a sign. If your crowd don't believe in the autonomy of the church, take down the sign. If your church doesn't believe in the priesthood of the believer, if they believe that some high and mighty man and some personality is the only way to God, my friend, take down the sign. Take it down. If you don't believe there's just two ordinances and foot washing ain't one of them, hallelujah. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Two ordinances. If you don't believe just two ordinances, take down the sign. If you don't believe in individual soul liberty, take down the sign. Hey, we believe it's our right to witness, and we believe it's your right to be wrong. Baptists have never tried to convert people at the edge of the sword or at gunpoint. We believe people have the right to be wrong. Baptists fought against the state church. Baptists fought against the state religion. William Rogers was... Did I get that right? William Rogers? It didn't sound right. Anyway, back up. The state of Rhode Island was going to be a Baptist state. That was the plan. Roger Williams. I got it backwards. Dyslexia, it sounded fine to me. But I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and y'all have to figure out how to arrange the words. Okay, so that keeps you on your toes. You don't go to sleep that way. They offered, what was his name? Roger Williams. They offered that Rhode Island would be a Baptist state. You know what the capital of Rhode Island is? Providence. Named because the Baptists fled to that little peninsula to get away from the Puritans and the Episcopal Church. When the capital was commissioned, they let every state send two statues to stand in Statuary Hall of the United States Capitol. You know who Rhode Island sent? They sent a bust of Roger Williams, Baptist preacher. Yes, sir. It's a fact. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm telling you, if you don't believe in the membership, it's got to be saved first. Save membership. Take down the sign. If you don't believe there's just two offices in the Bible, pastor and deacon, take down the sign. And if you don't believe in separation of church and state, can I tell you something? The state has no business messing with the church. But the church by nature, because it's made up of citizens, has every right to be involved in the state. But the state has absolutely no right to be involved in the church. We believe in separation of the state from the church. We don't take any funding. We don't take anything from them. We never ask them for anything. But if you're going to yoke up with them, I was on the campus of Liberty University. And did you know that we could not have convention in one of the buildings on the property, because we would be having Bible verses and quoting things. We're going to have young preachers preaching. They would not let us go in this building because Jerry Falwell accepted federal funds to build the building with. You could teach science and math in it, but you could not teach Bible in it because it was federally funded. I got news for you. Years ago, there's some property near here, large piece of land. We looked at putting a Christian retirement, some apartments for senior citizens on it. We got so far as the grant process. Federal money available. We would have bought and paid for everything. And it was on a low interest situation, but there were grants that would pay off the thing after so many years of operation, you'd get it paid for. It'd be free and clear. When I got to reading the fine print, we were looking to the point that I had a secretary who was working on it full time. We got down to the point that where we were looking ready to start filing papers, and I read one of these little disclaimers at the bottom of the pages, and it said, because you use federal money, there will be absolutely no religious activity on this property. And I said, you can keep your money and your land and your building, because that's not happening. That's just not going to happen. Why? Because Baptists have always believed in the separation of church and state. So we're talking about, if we come break it down, we're talking about the kingdom is the kingdom of God. The phylum is church. That's our spine. That's our backbone. The class, we're Paulicians, the followers of the Apostle Paul, which ultimately came down to our order, which is Baptist. By the way, if you go to Amish country, you'll see the old Amish. They're called Old Order Amish. That's what they're called. I guess we could be called Old Order Baptist. Did you know that in Illinois and Indiana that there are what they call Old Order Baptists? They're German Baptist. Did you know that they live very much like the Amish do? Yet they Baptist us like we are, but yet they live very much like the Amish do. They're called German Baptist or Dutch Baptist is what some of them are called. And there's a whole communities of them. And they live very plain, very simple. They wear overalls. They wear, very, very, very simple stuff. I've seen them. I've never had a lot of interaction with them. But as far as what they believe about this book, very similar to what we believe. We're related in that. But can I go a little further with that? See, there's a group that didn't aspire to that. Well, we're the Mennonites. They're following of a different fella. And they have a different belief system. And then the Amish are a part of that. And so that's where we would divide at. But as far as our order, we would divide right there. Family. Well, if we were going to go into family, is it part of the canine family? Is it a dog? Is it part of the feline family? Is it a cat? Our family is independent. We're not a part of the Southern Baptist Association. We're not a part of the American Baptist Association. We're not a part of any of those groups. We're not a part of the regular Baptist Association. We are independent Baptist. And that offends a lot of people. But it doesn't offend me that somebody chooses to be. That's just what we are. We've never been anything else. We've always been an independent Baptist church. And by the way, that's how it started. That's how the first Baptist church in this state was ever established. It didn't have a big association backing it. It was independent. And so much of the work that was done in these mountains was done that way. We take it down, and we're gonna break it down even further. We would come down to the genus. And if we were talking about human beings, the genus of a human being would be the phrase homo, and then sapien would be the species. We are homo sapien. It's what they call us. But I got news for you. We don't fit in that category. We're not animals. While we may share some characteristics, or animals may be share some of the characteristics of humans, humans are not part of the taxonomical equation of the things of this world. Because we're the only conscious being among all the rest, and the only one to have a soul, my friend. We were not created with the animals. We were created hands-on by God Almighty. After He created the rest of it, by fiat, He spoke it, and it happened. But man was a hand-on project. God scooped up man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the Bible says man became a living soul. There's the trichotomy of man right there. Body, spirit, and soul right there. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say that we've never come from animals. But when you teach children that they're just a higher form of animal, and they go into a school and shoot it up and kill dozens of people, it's no different than going rabbit hunting or bird hunting or any other kind of hunting. Because if we're just animals, there's no eternal consequence. There's no God in heaven. There's no hell to shun. Why not? Just do whatever feels good or whatever you feel like at the moment. It's backfired, my friend, teaching children that they're animals. Just a higher form, and that's all. And the only reason you ought to behave is because it's the right thing to do. And that's the only, there's no consequence to your actions. And so we have what we have. My friend, all I can tell you is we better make hard targets out of our schools and hard targets out of our colleges. It's the only hope we have. Under the genus, what are we? Well, if we were define a dog, under dog you would have a wolf. Under the canine species type, you would have wolves, and you'd have domestic dogs, and that would be a category. If you were doing cats, there's a whole variety of cats. If we were going to do big cats, they're under a phrase called panthera, and it means big cats, large cats, which would include the panther, as the name implies. It would include, I think, tigers and lions of all sizes. All of that whole group would be a part of the big cat if you were going to classify them that way. Preacher, how do you classify Anchor? We were discussing it before service. My friend, we believe in the inspiration of the Scriptures. And we believe that the Bible is inspired, and we believe it's preserved. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. I believe that this Bible I hold in my hand is the Word of God. And I believe it's a perfect Bible, and I don't believe it needs any changing. Further, do I believe that the English language, you couldn't do any good with it today because of how narrow the English language has become. Can I tell you, this is the preserved Word of God, and it stood the test of over 400 years. But understand that not everybody speaks English. And so we understand that the underlying text, the text of Susceptus and the Masoretic Hebrew, we use that when we translate into Tagalog. We use that when we translate into the other languages. There's a great controversy right now in Spanish over which version and over which version to use. And it's all about where did it come from and what was the root text of it. What I'm trying to say to you is that, hey, that's where we draw the line. That's where we draw the fellowship line, right there. Now, don't take this the wrong way. I got more in common with a Nazarene who believes that's the Bible than I do with a Baptist that don't believe it. I don't have any common ground to fellowship with the Baptist that don't believe the book. Brother Todd Bell tells of an old Pentecostal preacher who run a sawmill up in Maine, East Millinocket, Maine. He's the only saved man he could find in the whole town. And when he'd get depressed when he first went to the mission field, starving for fellowship, he'd go down and sling slabs to get to talk to the old preacher man. And he said even though he was Pentecostal, said he was saved by the grace of God. And said they'd get to rejoicing about the things of God. He said that old Pentecostal preacher man got him through the hard winters of Maine. Had it not been for that old preacher. Let me tell you the difference. That old man believed the book. Hallelujah. They could fellowship around the book. Todd wouldn't quote a verse, then he'd correct him and say, well, my version says thus and such. No. They had the same Bible. Therefore, they had fellowship. Brother Mays Jackson, you've heard me say this many times. Somebody asked me this weekend, who said it? It's Mays Jackson. Mays Jackson was here for Thanksgiving. We had a Thanksgiving revival downstairs. And on Wednesday night, Mays was struggling in the service. He lost his place a couple of times. And Dot had come up from Atlanta. And Dot and him were scheduled to eat supper dinner with us the next day at our house. And Dot called me Thanksgiving morning, which was also Mays' birthday. She called that morning and she said, Mays is in the hospital. He's had a stroke in the middle of the night. Long story short, I went and got him, and I drove him back to Atlanta Sunday afternoon. We brought him by here in a wheelchair. We had a birthday cake for him. He blew the candle out. And And I took him home. Last time I ever saw him alive. And on the way home, he said, son, the day's coming. He said, I won't live to see it. He said, the day's coming when you won't be able to go by what's on the sign. I was a little bit offended by that. So I questioned him. I said, what do you mean, Brother Mays? And he had a red Scofield Bible, that classic red Scofield Bible that he always preached out of. It was laying in the Cadillac seat between us. Burgundy interior Cadillac with a red Scofield Bible laying between us. And he rested with his left hand and got that Bible because his right hand was still somewhat impaired. And he got his left with his Bible. He said, that book right there will be the dividing line and what people believe about that book. He said, you won't be able to go what's on the sign. I got news for you. I can't fellowship with Baptist churches, even independent Baptist churches. Don't believe that book. Now, let me give you something that's real interesting. In the classifications, in the taxonomy classifications, when you get down to that genus, before up until that time, you might be able to crossbreed things and get some sort of hybrid, but it will not have the ability to reproduce. You can breed a donkey and a horse and get a mule, but a mule can't have other mules because you're one step back. You're breeding one step back. But once you get to the genus, when bred together can produce reproductive, they can produce offspring that have reproductive capabilities. What does that mean, preacher? Hey, when you start fellowshipping with churches that believe that book, you understand what I'm talking about? When you start fellowshipping with churches that believe that book right there, we can have some offspring. Do you know there's over 1,000 churches support ABMI and the 28 families that we have? There's over 1,000 churches supporting our mission board. We don't agree on everything. We don't all part our hair on the right side. You know, there's three kinds of parts. Right part, left part, and D part. And a lot got that lasting. There's right part Baptist, there's left part Baptist, and there's D parted Baptist, all right? And so we don't all part our hair on the same side. But hey, we can produce offspring, hallelujah. Because we're of the same genus. And then if you want to go down to its species, well, thank God species is where that's who we are individually. We're anchor. Just very quickly, and I want to get this off my chest. The word anchor is mentioned in the Bible 4 times. Three of those are mentioned in Euroclodon, in the shipwreck. 3 times the word anchor is talking about a metal something they threw overboard. But only once in the scripture, the book of Hebrews, is the anchor used. So there's the literal times, 3 times. 1 time it's used figuratively. The Bible says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Yeah. But can I tell you that, and I inherited the name anchor. I started to change the name anchor. We looked at several other names. We looked at Penrose Baptist. We looked at Davidson River Baptist, where we're too far from the river. A French Broad Baptist was already taken. Crab Creek Baptist was already taken because we looked at our location. So we stayed with the word anchor. And now looking back after 34 years, I'm glad we did. If you will study, you'll go back and look in the catacombs of Domalita in Rome. When you go down deep, the anchor is inscribed on tombs where Christians were buried in the 2nd century. As a matter of fact, the anchor probably predates the fish that we're so familiar with. The anchor, somebody would walk up and they'd be talking. Everybody carried staffs, or they'd take their tow, and just casually he would draw a line with his staff. If the other guy was a Christian, he would put a semicircle under the bottom of it. And to confirm who y'all were, he'd put a cross up and make the form of the anchor. Did you know that the symbol of the cross doesn't appear until after 400? Because they were still actively crucifying Christians. And so they didn't use the cross as a symbol of Christianity, yet the anchor was used. Did you know that in Gordon's Calvary, one of the reasons I think it's authentic, I believe where Christ died, Golgotha, I believe it's what they call Gordon's Calvary. I went and I saw Calvary. It wasn't exactly what I thought it was going to be. But man, when I got to that empty tomb, it was more than I ever thought it was going to be. I couldn't get my wife out. The bus was leaving. I couldn't get her out. I couldn't get my wife to come out of that thing. And the sun was going down, and they had a light on in there. And she stepped to the door of that thing, and I saw her silhouette, and I like to have an absolute fit. Let security come out to see what was the matter with me. I like to have a running, dying fit right there. But as I was looking up the walls of that big slab where they cut that tomb out, just above that door and slightly to the left, about probably 10 feet up, carved in that rock, is an anchor. And I asked about it. And a fellow who's a scholar said, that was a Christian symbol to show there was that was a Christian grave. And said it was one of the early symbols for Christ because of the scripture, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. We are church, Baptist, anchor. We are anchor, Baptist, church. And we're not ashamed of it. We're also not mad about it. I like what Ray Aiken said. He said, I'm an independent Baptist. He said, but I'm not mad about it. I know a bunch of independent Baptists act like they're ready to fight. Hey, I'm good with it, you know. I'm happy. Hey, God didn't call us to go out here and fight everything moves. Listen, my fight's not with the Southern Baptist. My fight's not with the regular Baptist. My fight's not with any of that crap. Hey, we're out here to fight the devil, hallelujah, and to try to do something for the glory of God. Can I tell you that we're celebrating the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Can I tell you, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. A lot of folks are arguing about when the church was formed. I believe just like anything living forms, I believe it has stages of life. Brother Stanett Ballou's been dealing with that some on the radio. But the bottom line is this, regardless when it was conceived and exactly when it was birthed, can I tell you that thank God it's alive. It's alive. And the question is, are you alive in your spirit? Do you know Christ and the free pardon of sin?